Well, good morning. Let's get the session started. This is a public discussion of the charter, but more specifically the draft list of issues for the DNS Risk Management Framework Working Group. Here's the agenda that I plan to go through. I should say, at the beginning, I'm Bill Graham, board member and chair of this committee. The agenda I'm proposing is first to talk briefly about the working group, how it was formed, what its charter is, and then really the meat of the discussion this morning is this preliminary issues list you see before you here. Following slides, I will highlight those so you don't need to read through them too frantically. But basically, we've been working via email and can't come up with this list. It is not a baked list in any way. We're genuinely open to improving it, and that's why we're here. Here's the members of the working group, and I'm going to ask Ray Polzak to talk about the background of it, and then I'll go through and introduce you to the members of the working group. Ray?
Thank you, Bill. This working group is not a new idea. It actually goes back to 2001, when a president's committee was formed to investigate matters of security and stability. This led into formation in 2002 of the SSAC. And one of the items in the original charter was to do the work that this working group is doing. The SSAC, as it progressed and was doing its work, determined that this task was not really appropriate for the SSAC to do. And so as a consequence, it never really worked in this area. It was really beyond the scope of the committee to do this work, and also beyond the ability of the of a volunteer group to do a lot of things that had to be done, and it was basically would have had to been moved to staff. Anyways, a consequence of all that, the bylaws review was conducted of the SSAC several years ago, and out of that bylaws review, one of the recommendations was for this item to be removed from the charter of the SSAC, and so it was. Well, it still was an important thing that needed to be done, but where was it going to be done? The board took the matter up and came up with the approach that, in fact, this really does belong in the staff. However, prior to it being handed off to the staff, some work had to be done. And so this working group was formed as a, in a sense, a transition mechanism to define and scope the work, identify priorities, things that needed to be done in this area, and then eventually pass that off to the staff. And so that is briefly the history behind the organization. Bill?
Thank you, Ray. So the working group members, as I said, I'm chairing this. Ray, you've just heard from Ram Mohan, Ram, down here. Suzanne Wolf, here. Patrick Falstrom. Bill Woodcock is not with us on stage, but he's sitting out here somewhere, was sitting out here somewhere, and Roloff Meyer from SIDN. Which button is that button? So the work plan, this is to be a short-term working group. We're hoping to be done by Prague. The intention is to scope the work of conducting a DNS risk management framework, which will be a staff project as an ongoing project. So this is really a bootstrapping progress project, figuring out what the issues are, and then moving along to staff work, which is where it should appropriately be done. We're looking at the steps you see in front of you here. The scoping study and budget will be launched immediately after getting feedback here on the issues. We'll open to public comments between now and the Prague meeting. Those are the approximate dates there. We'll schedule an output workshop in June in Prague, and with any luck, be able to move the framework through the board for approval, and then it can go under the board risk committee, and the work will be continued by staff. So I guess I can stop there and just see if there are any questions about the process before we actually get into the meat of this discussion. Is any of that unclear or controversial in any way? No hands, that's a relief. The issues list we've come up with, as I said, we've worked this for several weeks among the members of the group and have gone through a number of iterations. This is the issues, beginning of the issues list. So the first task we're doing is developing a definition of the DNS, and then we'll map the entities that are part of the environment so that we can situate our work and as we're moving forward with it. And I have in mind doing kind of a three-circle map with ICANN in the middle, the ICANN community in the second ring, and then the broader environment in the third, and try to locate all the relevant entities in there. We want to take quite a broad look at DNS security and stability issues, so not just sticking to only what's within ICANN, because clearly this is a kind of ecosystem, and if we're going to understand what the risks are, we need to understand that quite broadly. Then we look, of course, at which ones are within ICANN's span of control. Some of them won't be, logically, and for those that are outside our span of control, the question is whether there are already entities that should be alerted to those risks. We see this as producing communications to other entities. And also, are there coordination mechanisms? So that's the kind of holistic examination we intend to have produced as a result of this study. The second group of issues, I'm going to ask Roloff to address these. This is kind of a group that we see as being related. Roloff, please.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. That's the more systematic approach that I think quite a few of you will recognize from, for instance, ISO 27000, where you first of all, analyze the biggest threats to the services that you have, especially the most essential services. You analyze the risks that can influence those services, and then you come up with measures to either mitigate those risks, or it could also be measures that reduce the impact of those risks. So it's not something you do once, it's something you have to revisit repeatedly. And it's quite a systematic approach, and I think it would help us a lot.
Thank you very much, Roloff. I think rather than going through the remainder of the slides just as a forced march, it would probably be worthwhile stopping now and getting some comments. I should note that we are aware that there are several other pieces of work going on within ICANN and outside, looking at security and stability and risk. Those obviously include the SSAC, the Security and Stability Review Team, the DSSA, and so forth, and I've reached out to those groups and invited them to attend here. So I would encourage comments on what we're planning to do, and also comments about things that can feed into this work, or things that we should keep our fingers out of because they're already managed. So I'd go to the floor now, please. Could you say your name before you speak for the purpose of the recording?
Sure. My name's Mikey O'Connor. I'm one of the co-chairs of the DSSA group. And Bill puts breadcrumbs on the floor, and I get it. So I had a couple of questions just at this stage of the game, and I'm going to put Patrick Jones on the spot, so you might as well get up here and get ready to reply. Because Patrick's your staff support, right? Is he in the contingent that supports you guys in your work?
Yes, he is.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot, Patrick. Patrick's also staff support for, or part of the staff support team for the DSSA. And so he's pretty familiar with what we're doing, and he's pretty familiar with what you're going to do. And so I'm curious to get sort of Patrick's reaction and anybody else who overlaps as to, A, how much of the stuff that we're doing is going to be useful for this, and B, is there anything that we really ought to dial up the throttle on, given that your deadline's pretty fast? If there's something that we should do sooner rather than later to help get this done, we could easily accommodate that. So take it away.
Mr. Chairman? Bill? If you were about to say something, I can be in the queue behind you if you had an answer for that. But I was also about to, I think if we go through the whole issues list and go back to that question, it will be a little clearer did you plan, and I believe the plan was that we would go through the rest of the issues list after questions about these specific items. So if we go through the whole list, I think it will be a little bit easier to address that point.
You're only off the hook temporarily, Patrick. Okay, well, I have one other question. On the business impact analysis that you described, I was curious if you've picked a methodology to do that, or do you have one in mind? And if so, I'd love to... this is not a trick question. I'm just a methods nut. If there is one that you're planning to use, we'd love to know about it, because we might steal some of that for some of the work that we're doing.
I think you probably mean the system that we use to do the impact analysis. I haven't thought about what system to use. Okay. I know that I have access to one, the one we use at SIGN. We could use the same. I don't know if it's suitable, but this is just a general approach. But we can inform you if we make a choice.
Yeah, well, we love methods. So if there's something out there on the net that, we can...
I know that there are several tools to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
And we have one at SIGN.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks. Ron?
Thanks. Two things. One is specifically to your question, and second, I have some comments that have come into me from Yap Akerhuis from the SAC, and I wanted to read them into the record as well. But to what you're saying, I think it's important to understand the reason why this working group is there isn't to do this work, it's to bootstrap it, to scope it out so that the work can get done. So I don't even think we are going to define what tools or what methods to use. We're going to say, should this work be done, and what input we need from you and the community is to understand whether these are worthwhile and appropriate topics to work on. So just to clarify, our role as a board working group is less about actually digging into the details and coming up with an issues report or something like that, but it's to say, are we doing the things, are these the right kind of issues to look at? Okay? Bill, if you could please go to the previous slide. So these are comments from Yap Akerhuis, who is an SAC member. On question number one, what Yap says is, there is already a definition of the domain name concept. This is RFC 1034 and the protocol 1035 and a bunch of updates after that. So perhaps something else is meant here when you use the word the DNS. And can we please avoid to call all of the other pieces the DNS as well, else we end up in the same area as we are in Whois, where the protocol is confused with the systems. So that's the first question and comment. And Bill, my thought is to go, and he has some for each one of these points. So when you get a chance, I'll read them in, and if folks want to respond, I'll hand it back to you. But that's a question.
Well, yeah, I mean, from my perspective, developing a definition really means investigating the existing definitions and bringing those together in a way that can be understood for the purpose of a risk management activity. So, yeah, I don't think we're intending to reinvent any wheels. The object is to do a survey and pull out those aspects that are relevant to this task.
Thank you. Shall I go to number his comments on number two?
Sure.
Thank you. So for 2A, one of the responses is there is not a lot under ICANN's control. There's really more about cooperation that is needed here. What Yap says is what ICANN really controls and touches on the DNS are, number one, things to cover in-house needs, number two, operation of the LRoot server, and number three, operating a domain name registry under IANA contract. So apart from A and B, ICANN doesn't run the namespace on the internet. It can really only advise and coordinate. And ICANN is not the internet police and shouldn't want to be one.
Noted. Anyone want to comment on that? Or okay, to the floor, please.
My name is Andrew Sullivan. So I want to follow up and sort of emphasize what Yap just said there. The relationship between what he's saying there and the comment about the first point is right on. The DNS is a narrow protocol and a set of stuff inside it, and there seems to be a risk to this project in what's happening here, where there's a tremendous expansion of that. So I would encourage you very strongly to try to find another word than the DNS, if you can, or to come up with some subset of these things under this first task. Because if you don't do that sort of before you start doing anything else, we're going to end up exactly where we are with the whois, where these terms are, and that's the whois is the current Sterling example, but we got 30 of these right that we can come up with quickly. If we think about it that way, then we can distinguish between, for instance, the internal systems that Yap was just talking about that are just, sort of office systems versus the IANA root registry, which is, a completely unrelated problem. And I think that just distinguishing those before any other work gets done would be really, really helpful. Thanks.
Bill, could I comment?
Thank you. Ray and then Patrick.
Very quickly, I agree. We could very rapidly get into this trap, yeah, but at the same time, we also are probably stuck to a certain extent with what we have, and so we may be forever explaining it. It is something we may be doomed to do, but I'm certain that as we develop the tasks and talk about what it is we're really looking at, it will become self-evident what applies and what doesn't apply. But I would welcome any other suggestion that could be the subtitle to the name is or something like that. But I don't want to spend an awful lot of time on this particular definition, use of this particular term. And so I'll just leave my comments to that.
Thanks. Patrick?
I think exactly what you explained, Andrew, is one of the reasons why we have to sort of balance the task number one that we're given to the group to actually look at this problem that we absolutely see with the need for us to come up with a terminology that gives clear instructions for the actual work that is going on. But we're not supposed to, and we cannot do task number one because we think that's so important, so we want to delegate it. So we are sitting here and sort of balancing between doing the job and giving instructions to someone to do the job and make sure that they actually know what they should do and not do. So to some degree, personally, I'm hoping that maybe the quotation mark around the DNS there would be enough. But on the other hand, I absolutely do understand, and yes, and I see a new fake expression, how you feel about that. Let me encourage, do you have any suggestion on what we can say? And if you come up with something or anyone else, please let us know. Thank you.
Roloff, please, and then Mikey.
Just to confirm that this is indeed, I think, a risk, and I think all in the working group recognize it. And if you look at the charter, we added a subphrase which says, for the DNS, as it pertains to ICANN's role as defined in ICANN's bylaws. So that already gives a focus, I think. But it's very important that we keep that focus. I agree.
Thank you. Mikey?
This is Mikey O'Connor for the transcript. Co-chair of the DSSA, we struggle with this as well. I don't want to go through all of the results, but we do have a lot of results on this. We've got a lot of language and a lot of thought that we put into it, which we are clearly more than happy to donate to the cause to help you move the ball forward, blah, blah, blah. We have tons of stuff. You know, I've sort of made this pitch to Bill, but I'll make it to all of you now. We've got a boatload of stuff that's going to, I think, help you with that, and then you can help us back because you will find some refinements that we've missed. So I certainly don't want to go into the details today, but I will also certainly extend the offer to contribute in any way we can.
And for what it's worth, the term I'm hearing suggested is domain name environment, which I'm not sure is what we want to go with, but kind of captures more the flavor of what we're looking for.
Okay, thanks, Susanna. Thanks, Mikey. We will be calling on you, rest assured. Any other comments or questions on this topic particularly? Please.
David Cake. Just for the, I know the SSR team, which I'm part of, has done an awful lot of work on these scoping and you know, questions of exactly what ICANN's influence is and so on. So I think we'll have plenty to give you that will help add to this, and we should have a draft for you by the end of this week.
Can you introduce yourself? Because the scribe didn't pick up your name.
David Cake.
Thanks, David.
On the next slide.
For the scribes, we are going to try again, and we do understand that you have a problem with the audio.
Just one more time, my name is David Cake, Cake as in birthday.
Bill, on this slide, the comments from...
Okay, moving to the next slide, Ram, Suzanne, and Patrick are going to split the task of explaining this one.
Sorry, Bill, there were some comments for the previous slides. Slide.
For this one here?
Yes.
Yes, okay, good.
So this is again from Jaap Akkerhuis. For number three, what he says is... In the strict sense, what is digest it. On the business impact analysis, what Jaap says is that in the strict sense, what is really needed is the in-house needs of ICANN are really the core thing to study. The second business impact that perhaps should be looked at is how ICANN is doing a satisfactory job of the IANA contract. That is a real core of ICANN. And to do that properly, ICANN should stay focused and watch for creeping futurism. Running the LRoot server is not really a primary function, but I stress that ICANN does a very good job there. So.
Good. Thank you.
For number four and five, the only comment that I have from Jaap is we need to properly define critical service of whom and for whom.
That's useful. Thank you. Any other comments on this slide before we move to the next? Okay, there's
the third of the issues slides. And Ram, do you want to kick it off, or Suzanne?
Yeah, what we had agreed was that I'm going to sort of give the general overview, and then Patrick and Ram will go over some of the specifics, because we have kind of a framing comment we wanted to make. As we look at this issue and the next one, we've been talking about those in the context of systemic risk, you know, things that can cause drastic consequences across the entire system of whatever we have agreed to identify as the domain name environment. I'll use the term for now. But as I was thinking about what to say here, I'm also realizing that we are talking about another term borrowed from finance and related industries that's very close but not quite the same thing, of systematic risk. Things that can affect any participant in the system, risk that can't be diversified away by anyone participating in the system, risk fundamental to operating in the environment. Both are basic, but both are also extremely difficult to define and quantify, you know, at least so far, and we're really eager to see the work that some of these other groups have been doing, particularly on these framing and definition issues. Our thinking so far on these items is rough, and that's what you're seeing here. We don't have internal consensus on what they mean yet, but we did think it was important to bring them up for feedback. The focus from our perspective on these extremely large and somewhat diffuse issues, if I may speak for my colleagues here, is on identifying, you know, as we've said, ICANN's role and remit for ongoing staff awareness and action, which is actually fairly narrow as we try to examine what that means. We're especially interested in things only ICANN is in a position to do in a world where there are many, many other participants and many moving parts in keeping the system active. So I guess Ron is next. Or
no, I think
Patrick,
it's me,
right.
Actually.
Okay.
Patrick Feldstrom. So the bullet number 6 that you see on the screen here is, it's very important to look at these questions, both based on what we discussed regarding the first bullet regarding definition of DNS, and also the comments that Jaap made regarding the scope of ICANN's responsibility that Suzanne explained. So bullet number 6 has to do with the software and the tools that we're using regarding DNS. And the reason why we feel that this must be looked at on a 30,000-foot level is that there are questions raised now and then on whether ICANN do have a responsibility on doing something, whatever that is, including outreach. For example, there was a session yesterday regarding the need for outreach or something to interact or to work together with software developers that uses the DNS in various ways to increase the acceptance of, for example, new gTLDs or new TLDs, specifically IDN TLDs, where it was given some examples yesterday where not even, I would say, organizations that are part of the ICANN framework, like registrars and others that participate, do have full support for the new TLDs in their various software that they have developed. And then, of course, we have other kind of software that is in use, like the DNS softwares that are used for the DNS servers in the world, etc. So, once again, read this text and come back with comments based on what ICANN's responsibilities, systematic risks that Suzanne explained, and, of course, back to the definition of DNS.
Bill, I have some comments from Jaap on this
next
item.
Slide?
Yeah, on this slide. So may I read them in?
Okay, please, yes.
Thank you. So on point number 6, Jaap's comments are the following. This point deals with strict DNS protocol implementation, the way I view it. It's too bad that you're not making a difference between authoritative servers, for instance, those servers that are used by the root TLD servers, etc., and recursive resolving servers, such as those used at your ISP or your laptop. And the follow-on is a question, is there a single predominant software implementation? If so, for which function, authoritative or non-authoritative? So don't take this this question at face value. It needs to be dug a little deeper. On the second bullet there, Yap takes issue with this. He says, is the development cycle really resource intensive? Anecdotal evidence, he knows of three different authoritative servers that were developed in a year or so, and those servers are in full production. Recursive servers take more time and require a lot of tinkering while in production due to various customs as well as the way the DNS itself operates. And a lot of the work has to do with ensuring adherence to the robustness principles. On the third point, what Yap says is you're asking to look into the kitchens of the developers. Quite a lot of software is developed in isolation by small groups, and that gives some guarantees for independent implementations and some genetic diversity. Often open software's nature provides fruitful sharing of ideas and discussion of common problems that people have seen. But whether one can have a look in different development kitchens is something else. Although open software allows for code review, doing that for proprietary software is far harder.
Thank you.
My name is Andrew Sullivan. I got to be honest, I sort of don't understand what the action could possibly be from this thing. Supposing that you answered this question as no, what could ICANN do? Because, you know, short of getting into the software development business, it seems that ICANN's answer in that case is, gee, that's too bad. And you know, while I recognize that it might be good to sort of know, gee, there's this huge problem that could happen, you know, very unlikely or whatever, but it could happen. I don't know what the possible follow-on action from this is. I don't expect the working group to come up with that because I know that the staff is supposed to take this on. But really, if you're building a framework for a task that ICANN couldn't possibly do anything about, then I'm not sure why to take on that part.
Can I send back a question on that? I take your point, but we're defining our charter as being identifying things that may need to be referred on to others. Are you saying that this is so far removed from ICANN's responsibilities that it's probably not useful for us to look at it on this group?
Well, I'm asking that anyway. I don't know what the answer is because I haven't thought about it long enough, but. Given my own experience, both in the protocol community and, you know, when I was working, for instance, for a registry in the past and registrar now, it seems to me that, you know, if you started trying to tell independent developers who are outside of the ICANN community, you know, this is a problem that you have, they're going to say, well, that's very nice. Please pay us $N million and we will start fixing that. And that seems to be about all the dialogue you could possibly have after that.
Good. Thank you. Anyone on the table want to roll off, please?
Yeah, just in reaction to that, I think the minimum that that the working group then could do is give an advice, and one step further might be offer help, and that doesn't automatically have to be financial help. But I think just the fact that we cannot directly solve a particular problem, I don't think that's it's a valid reason to stay away from it, if once you have determined that it's a serious problem.
Thanks. Going to the mic, state your name, please.
Bill Manning, but you may call me William Manning to remove confusion. The question that sort of popped into my mind here is, ICANN as an entity consumes DNS, ICANN.org, and so runs authoritative and recursive services for its own purposes. It also runs authoritative servers for the rest of the internet community. Is the intent of this working group to look at both of those facets or just one?
I don't
Wrong
know.
Place, yeah.
Thank you. I don't know if we have an intent on that, Bill. We're actually asking for your input on where it should go. I mean, our job is to try and collect your feedback and then to try and see, you know, what pieces of that are reflective of reality.
Thanks, Ron.
Bill Woodcock. Got up to respond to Andrew. In looking at this list, it seems to me that one of the things that without ICANN having any special authority or anything that ICANN can do very easily is the security testing, right? You don't need special access. You can act in the role of a customer and do security testing of various products. And what Bill Manning just said is also related to that. ICANN has, in fact, a responsibility to do security reviewing reviews of DNS software because ICANN operates LRoot. LRoot should be using the best DNS software available, and so that means ICANN has a responsibility to do at least a portion of this, regardless of whether it fits into some greater framework.
Thanks, Bill. That's really useful. Mikey?
It's Mikey back again. I was just looking at risks as a word up there, and it dawned on me that a lot of the words that we're using can have a lot of different meanings. We tripped over this a bit in the DSSA. It took us a while to unpack those. And so I'm curious, given your incredible, I mean, this is a very short timeline that you're working on. I think this is feedback, and that is you may have to be careful not to accidentally start doing any of this work. In fact, you may have to work really hard not to do any of this work. And as I come to that, then I go back to these questions. It's easy to start working on these, on the answers to these questions. But just to make sure, you all don't want to do that. You want to just ask them, and you want to ask them well, and then give them to somebody to answer, right? Yeah, okay. I think in when you do the next draft of the charter, you may want to amplify that distinction, because when I read your charter the first time, it read more like, we're going to answer these questions. And I was thinking, scratching my head, that's a pretty aggressive timeline to answer all these. So it's just a drafting point more than anything else.
Suzanne?
Sure, if I can thank you for that, because that's good feedback to have, because that's actually one of the things we did want to be conscious of. Because I think you will find that I agree with you completely. I think all of us have the experience of having trouble distinguishing between asking the questions and starting the work of answering them. I think you also find that, that this group of people, because of that prior experience, is very determined to do to not start doing the work, but to make sure that the questions are useful and can be addressed appropriately and usefully.
And I can tell you, as the chair and by far the least technical person on this committee, it's been a real challenge to pull back the reins on a very knowledgeable and enthusiastic group. Patrick.
Yeah, one thing that we have been reminding ourselves several times, and specifically Bill, it's exactly that we're not supposed to start to do the work. But it's that said, it's very good that you remind us as well. Now, we all know, all of us that have participated in our group, in this kind of groups, do know that it's much easier to do the work if you get crisp questions. Otherwise, first 2 years of the existence of the group, we'll be discussing what questions were actually asked. So I think I completely agree with you, and that is what we have to remind ourselves to really think about is, what are the actual crisp questions that we can ask so that the group can start work immediately with finding the answer instead of questioning the questions?
Mikey, back to you.
Let me respond by bringing you up one layer in the sort of meta hierarchy, and that is that before you ask the right questions, which I agree is really important, remember that charters, you're working on your charter right now, and it's my understanding that this is a draft charter, that you're, this is a final charter? Final charter, never mind. The only thought that I have is that
the charter is final, but the list of issues is in draft.
Right. What I'm aiming at is at your charter language. I mean, I also love the list of issues language conversation, but charters are like spells. And when you cast the spell unclearly, you sometimes get unexpected results. And I don't think that your charter is clear yet on that, and that you need to refine that. That's the really, I mean, I love the questions too, but circle back on the charter just a touch and make it clearer that your charter is to ask and refine these questions, not do the work. That's really where I was headed.
Yeah, fair point. Thank you. Other comments at this point? Okay, we'll move to bullet 7 here. And again, the same team to make comments on this.
Yeah, this one has been assigned to me. So we've spoken a little bit about resolvers and things like that, but when we as a working group got together, we started to think about what other entities or tools or pieces of software exist and or processes exist in the in the, what was that you said, Suzanne? Domain name environment? Is it domain name environment? That may cause risk, that may result in issues that have direct impact. And we have come up with some, with a preliminary list of them. For instance, what kind of risks, universal risks, exist with registration. If you look at the SAC, they have in the past provided reports on domain name hijacking, on the vulnerability of registration systems, for example. Name service robustness, compromise of personnel, policies that may not be compatible, and as well as, you know, risks associated with uneven knowledge levels that result in potentially improper operational actions. The presence or the lack of anti-abuse procedures in various entities, and what kind of risks that poses to the community, as well as when we say international variation, it's international variation of all of the above. It changes sometimes by jurisdiction, by locale, but it's also a attempt to be a placeholder for things like IDNs, which is not a specific risk by itself, but it causes new sets of issues to be opened up that have to be explored. So that's our thinking on this, and we'd love to get your feedback on it. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks, Ram. Anyone else on this? Ray, are you looking like you want to speak? No? Thanks. Any comments from the floor? Okay, we'll move on to point number...
Can I just offer my own observation on that particular set of items? This list, again, it seems worthwhile to remind people that we are talking about work to be taken on an ongoing basis by the staff. There may be many, many things, particularly in this particular item or throughout the issues list, that are important and valid to undertake, but not necessarily by ICANN.
Good point, Suzanne. Thanks. Mikey, please.
This is Mikey O'Connor for the transcript. The by the staff, in quotes, phrase triggered something for me. One of the things you might want to think about is the boundaries that you want to, at least, or proposals that you want to make with regard to the boundary between the staff function and the ICANN community part of this work. Because I'd heard that phrase a couple of earlier times and it didn't register, but some of this work could be done and maybe should be done in the community, and some of it, and I'm getting a response from Ray, so I'd like to throw it to you and maybe that you can clarify that a bit.
Ray?
I'm not sure I quite understood what you said, because it's hard for me to hear what you're saying because of the acoustics in the room. If you could say it one more time, please.
I was afraid that I was saying something dreadful.
It's just hard.
Okay, I will speak louder and more clearly. If Cheryl Langdonora was in the room, she would declare this my official once-a-day mumbling episode, and I will now correct that. Sorry.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
So you can be Cheryl Langdonora for a moment, and it's perfectly acceptable. So, the DSSA is a community effort, and staff is way in there, way helping. But I'm just curious if it's your intent to give all this work to the staff alone, or whether you're thinking in terms of defining some sort of staff, community, roles, responsibilities, boundaries piece to this. I think it would be extremely helpful for, and I will now channel some of my friends on the staff. It's my reaction as a volunteer at ICANN that we underutilize our staff, and that often they have a lot of expertise to bring to bear that they somehow feel uncomfortable doing because of something that happened before I got here. And so I think that a positive sort of affirmative statement that says, yo, staff, you're great. You have a lot to bring to this party. So do you, community people. Here's a sort of desirable way for you to work together and boundaries on the work that you do might actually be at least as important and helpful as the list of questions, and perhaps even more helpful to the ongoing effort. So I'm just curious if give this work to the staff is really cast in concrete, or whether that's something that you're thinking about.
The intent is to pass the implementation to the staff. However, the symbiosis between the staff and the community is very important. Certainly, they could suggest any particular issue area convening a panel, work group, whatever you want to call it. In other circumstances, they may generate a paper and put it out for comment. So instead of dictating one way or the other, I see that there's some evolution involved in this as well, and so we need to have room for that to occur. And certainly, since the outcomes of the discussions of these issues and so forth certainly are going to have an impact and effect upon specific elements of the community specifically and the entire community in general, whether or not they realize it. You know, and that's the same thing with all these things, that sometimes, especially the end user, doesn't know what happened. He just knows that it worked. So there has to be that. And I would not foresee everything being given to the staff. Staff does it, and nothing happens. I would know and presume that the staff would know when to take things on, and obviously would have to ask for resources in the budget to accommodate some of these things and so on. So that's a long, involved answer, but I hope it addresses your concern.
It's a terrific answer. And then, as you were giving it, one of the things that you may want to consider at sort of the meta level, above the questions level, is some sort of definition of a core authority, accountability, responsibility assigned to the staff for this implementation, and sketching that out. I think the SSR team is going to come up with some of that. Our team is not. That's above our pay grade. But I think that making some of those expectations clearer might be at least as important as defining the questions that need to be answered.
Well, as my fellow board members could tell you, I am really big on accountability and giving people. When you give somebody something, you have to give them the authority to do it as well. That's the other piece of it. They just don't have a responsibility, and authority is one of the most important tools they have. But at the same time, once you have that authority and responsibility, you have to be accountable.
Right. There you go. Oh, I'm going to do an advertisement. The DSSA meeting is starting at 11, about 2.5 miles away at the other end of the complex. So I'm going to disappear pretty quick because I got to go get that meeting spun up. But I would love it if everybody here took the trek after this meeting is over, because we're going to go pretty deep into some of the stuff we've been doing, and we could preview some of the stuff that we've done. So I'm going to disappear pretty soon, but it's not because I want to. It's just bad scheduling. Sorry. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Do you want to name the room that you're in just for ease of traveling?
Giricell. It's one of the ones down by the swimming pool, almost to the far end, and you turn right just before you get there. And it's an extremely small room, so I encourage everybody to get there promptly, because it's literally the opposite problem to this room. It's not big enough, so come early.
Good. Thanks, and thanks for your comment.
Bill, I have some comments from you.
Please.
So this is comments from Yap Akerhuis, and for number seven, what he says is the following. It smells like one wants to see a role for an internet police, an audit service, or something like that. This is yet another tar pit. Note that we already have a big problem with the enforcement of the current contracts from ICANN. For any organization which takes up these tasks, the enforcement problems will be daunting. I guess, however, that it might be a great job opportunity for a lawyer.
Roloff, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, just that I wonder if Yap has seen the charter or understood what we meant with it. Maybe we have to, on a separate occasion, explain it to him a bit better. Because I don't see the link between the charter and, what did he say, internet police? Or a tar pit, for that matter.
Yeah, I think we want to avoid both becoming the police or falling into a tar pit, if that offers any comfort. But if anyone sees us heading in either direction, I'd like to be pulled back. Thank you. Okay, moving to this next set of issues. Just trying to get them up in my own window. Yes, here we go. Issues around DNSSEC deployment, IPv6 readiness, and new GTLDA operational capability. Who would like to speak to that? Suzanne, please.
Yeah, I think we can go through this one very, very quickly, actually. DNSSEC deployment seems relatively straightforward because with regards to DNSSEC, ICANN has a number of fairly specific and well-defined roles, as I believe Bill Wodcock pointed out, with regards to ICANN as a software user. ICANN also has some operational responsibilities and some relationships with contracted parties. That helped to scope this. So I actually didn't plan to spend a lot of time on it because it seems very straightforward. But if people have comments on that, that would be good to have.
Thanks, Suzanne. And Ray, you were going to talk about the IPv6 V4 issue.
Okay. Needless to say, there's a lot of effort and ongoing work on this. IPv6 events being planned. There is an extreme amount of work that's going on in the various regional registries in terms of policy activities and so forth. And like Suzanne just said, there's not a lot to be said here in that this is work that is well underway. And if I was to sit and start going through the things, we would be here for a long time. So there are specific issues with regard to V6 readiness and that have been addressed. For example, John Kern wrote an RFC on that particular subject. There are many things that have been discussed in terms of the depletion of the V4. There's a global policy proposal that has come to the board from the NRO to address the matter of the, give the INO the ability to hand out recovered IPv4 address space. So there's a lot of work here. And so I would see that in this particular area anything that would be done would draw upon those organizations that are fully engaged in this at the moment and before trying to create something new, some new, for example, new IPv6 form or something else. Thanks.
Thank you, Ray. Don, at the mic, please.
Yeah. Don Blumenthal. Well, first, I think this item kind of points up the it's a good example of the point that was made earlier about broadening the term of DNS, going into, say, to use Suzanne's term, domain name environment. I may be missing something obvious here, but I guess I'm interested in more explanation of exactly how this fits into the risk analysis part of the risk analysis core of the mandate the group has.
The prime example is people being able to reach other networks. I mean, the DNS servers being capable of at the simplest level of handling V6 addresses. That's the simplest level, but there are other more complex issues with regard to the availability of not wanting to create pockets, if you will, of V4 islands and so forth. And so the actual operation of the DNS system can have a role there. And there's been a lot of work done in that area as well. So to some extent, I would agree with you that there appears to be a reach here, but at the same time, there are some issues there. There are things that have been involved and implemented to date. There's some guidance that, for example, the regional registries give with regards to types of services that need to be faced outward and faced inward. So there's a number of things that are there. And so that's why this is put there as more or less, to a certain extent, as a placeholder, just to make sure it doesn't get ignored.
Okay. That helps a lot. Maybe it's an example of another area where the DSSA and this group should be talking to each other because we had looked at it and had some other thoughts. Great. Thanks.
Thank you, Don. Bill?
I just wanted to follow on very quickly to...
Bill Woodcock for the scribes.
Sorry, Bill Woodcock. Yes. I just wanted to follow on very quickly to what Ray said. A specific example of a threat to the DNS system that comes from V6 readiness is that due to peering and transit politics between Internet service providers, there are service providers who are trying to enhance their default free zone status in the transition to V6 by playing much harder hardball politics in peering with V6, which means that you can buy IPv6 transit that does not reach the whole world. In fact, a lot of IPv6 transit doesn't reach the whole world. But, of course, no one advertises that fact when they're selling IPv6 transit. So if you're a name server operator, it's very easy to buy IPv6 transit, even from multiple sources, that does not allow you to reach all IPv6 end nodes.
Thank you. Don, follow up?
I'll just add, it's amazing how politics can mess up a good technical idea.
Okay. Patrick, you were going to speak to number 10, please.
Yeah, the last one is a topic that comes up quite often in the community, and I want to fall back to. And for example, it's included the review in the applicant guidebook for various parameters and stuff. But once again, it's important to read this in the context of what specifically Suzanne explained and what is ICANN's responsibility here. So this is something that we're also. Potentially, this question actually need to be very specific and more crisp than what is currently here. So I would like to hear some feedback on that one as well.
Thanks, Patrick. Anyone want to comment? Ram, please.
Bill, I don't have a comment, but I wanted to get an opportunity to provide some of Yop's questions into the record.
Please.
Thank you. Yop has some responses for 8, 9, and 10, so I'll just go through all of them. For DNSSEC deployment, what Yap says is that as several cases seem to have demonstrated regularly, a top-down enforced approach leads to mistakes, wrong procedures, and therefore broken or very brittle implementations. So there certainly is a need for more knowledge and more tools. One problem here is that running DNS is seen as a cost center, and security is also seen as a cost center. So promoting knowledge won't get you much more than just brownie points.
Okay, thank you. Noted.
For question number nine, issue number nine, IPv6 readiness, Yap's question is it, if it is IPv6 readiness for the DNS, the more modern implementations can handle that, the risks and the problems are more on the business side where there are stumbling blocks, registration systems, ISP operations, etc. And Yap opines that ICANN and others could promote this by contractual matters potentially by taking a contractual approach, but then the enforcement question again pops up.
Bill?
Ray, please.
Quick comment on that last comment by Yap. The board engaged in a good, healthy conversation yesterday with the ASO. Primarily was the CEOs of the regional registries plus board members and so forth from the regional registries as well as some of their staffs and members from the addressing community. And that particular item with regards to business practices was talked about. And it was noted that in the new GTLD program, there's a requirement for V6 service, but it was also noted and pointed out that something needs to be done with regards to the current registries and registrars, and that perhaps there should be some policy work done in that area as well.
Good. Thank you for that.
On issue number 10, Yap's comment is the following. The real question is, which name servers do you really mean? The root servers, the TLD servers? Because technically, apart from corner cases, name servers shouldn't really be a problem in terms of handling new GTLD operational capacity. The real problem is the capability of the registry. ICANN is only slowly becoming aware that they are yet another registry in this respect. And experience shows that it is very hard to run a very regulated registry, applying the rules consistently and then enforcing them consistently.
Good point. Thank you, Yap. Judith, do you want to go to the mic, please? And don't forget to identify yourself for the scribes.
Yes, Judith Vasquez on a personal basis. The question is, what do they mean by, what does the individual mean by ICANN being a registry? Is this within light of the LRoot server? Is that the context of his question?
Thanks.
The question is not clear.
I was only channeling Yap, but I'm not Yap, so I can't really give you the exact answer.
Yeah, so that's the first question. And second is, if it's with reference to the LRoot, I'm thinking aloud. Does it make sense for ICANN to actually manage the LRoot is another question, as distinct and separate from the IANA function. So I'm not asking the panel. I'm just throwing on the floor many questions which I know float around us. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew,
please. Andrew Sullivan. I don't want to speak for Yap, but in DNS protocol documents, traditionally, we have talked about a registry being whoever takes registrations in a zone. And so ICANN is the registry for the root zone. That's what it is. And I think that's, well, not just the L root, but all the root zones, right? So I think that's what Yap's point is. Anyway, that's how I understood it.
Yap is on IM with me saying he agrees with what Andrew just said. It's the registry for all the TLDs.
Okay.
Any other comments on this slide? I think the next slide actually just says discussion. Yes, there we go. Very informative. So I guess opening the floor for comments on any of this material or suggestions on what we should do going forward.
Judith, on a personal basis, can we have a very clear definition of terms moving forward? Definition of terms, like when we say DNS, people think, is this the domain name space? Is this the domain name server? Because we get much of the discussion mixed up. RAM may be both technical and able to do cut across, but there is still some confusion around the acronyms. Thank you.
Thanks. Patrick?
I think we have got very, very good feedback that we need to have a very clear taxonomy and description of terms that we are using in this document. But at the same time, we have to remember that some of the tasks is that we ask this group to come up with definitions. But yes, at least in the context of this document, it must be clear to everyone what we are meaning.
Thanks, Patrick. At the mic, please.
My name is Jörg Schweiger from dnic.de, and I'm also the co-chair for the CCNSO to the DSSA. I'm more or less referring to what Jaap might have meant by asking all these questions to you guys. And I just want to stress that we should be aware that we do not give too much of DNS oversight or whatever to ICANN. And I think he was addressing what we saw like roughly a year ago when we were talking about assigning a DNS cert to ICANN, and that was supposed to be operated by ICANN. And I think this is what the whole discussion stems from. So we want to be really very, very much aware on how much responsibility we do want to assign to ICANN with respect of any operational issues concerning the DNS. Thanks.
Yeah, good point. And I certainly don't see, and I don't think anyone else on the committee sees this as a mandate expansion exercise. Thanks. Any other comments? Don, please.
Hi, Don Blumenthal. Just to add to the taxonomy point, I'll just mention something I couldn't ask before, which is just not quite clear on what span of control involves. So I just suggest including that when the taxonomy is built up.
Thank you. Others on the table? No? Okay, well, if there are no other comments, we could probably well draw this to a close and leave people room to get over and occupy the space for the DSSA workshop over in the other building. I want to thank you very much for your comments. These have been extremely useful. We'll go through the transcript with care and make sure that we've caught all of these and work them into the revised set of questions and issues. So personally, I'd like to thank you. Any other last comments on the table? If not, we'll draw to a close and see you over on the other side. Thanks.